Let's begin in Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55. Again, it was announced earlier, we're going to be having a yard sale in a few weeks, and all the proceeds will go to help missions. They're all going towards missions contribution. So again, I want to encourage you to go through your homes and start getting those things ready. Amen? So that we can get them to the three locations we're going to be announcing in a week or two, and just get rid of those things. Amen? And it's going to be great. All the money is going to be going towards missions. But we're hoping and praying that that's not just your missions contribution. This is extra. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Okay. I just want to make sure we're on the same page. Let's see. Isaiah 55. It says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their ways and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them turn to the Lord and he will have mercy on them. And to our God, for he will freely pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Amen? Isaiah the prophet starts off by telling us that, you know what? We need to seek the Lord while he may be found. We need to call on him while he is near. And I hope that every single one of us as Christians really call on God on a daily basis. That you and I being disciples of Jesus Christ is a whole lot more than just going to church. Christianity really is a relationship with the creator of the universe. And you and I need to be connected to him every single day. We need to seek God. We need to lay our requests before him. I don't believe what happened last Sunday was by accident. We've been praying for weeks for God to glorify himself through that event. And he did that because we were seeking him. We were relying on him. We were crying out to him. Prayer, brothers and sisters, I believe, is a privilege. It really is. We get to take and plead our case before God every day. We get to approach the throne of the Almighty without any appointment. Those of us that are campus students, you can't even see your professor without an appointment or during his office hours. You just can't show up and say, hey, I'd like to talk to you, sir. Sorry. Pick a number. We get to come before God every day. And prayer is something I believe that we should be taking advantage of. And you've heard me say this before. You're driving to work or you're driving back from work, turn the radio off. Talk to your God instead. Say, well, Richard, I spoke to him in the morning. Yeah, he wants to hear from you again. The Bible says that you and I should pray without ceasing. That we need to continue to pray all the time. Amen? Amen. Very, very important. In Hebrews chapter 4, you can write this verse down. In verse 14 to 16, it talks about Jesus being our high priest. That he was tested in every way just like we were, but was without sin. And because Jesus is our high priest, that verse talks about how you and I can approach God's throne, the throne of grace, with confidence so that we can find mercy during our time of need. That's an incredible thing. We obviously read about that in Acts chapter 1 when Jesus ascended up through the heavens into the sky and went back to heaven. And the Bible says he sat down at the right hand of God, interceding on our behalf. God is our advocate. Are you with me? You and I have a lawyer in Jesus pleading our case before God every day. When you and I bring our request to him, he's there on our behalf, pleading for us, interceding for us. That's exciting to me. You know, like in the world, they say it's not what you know, it's who you know. I mean, we're talking about our big brother interceding before the Almighty on our behalf all day long. But the question is, does he hear from us? Is he hearing from us? And what is he hearing from us? And that's what I want us to take a look at tonight very quickly. You know, several years ago, I was talking to a brother, and they had gone out to start our church at that time in Sao Paulo, Brazil. And that's the church where later on Galileo was baptized into. And when they were starting the church, believe it or not, there was another group that didn't want them to come. And they actually went and tried to cause trouble for them. And this other group now came with, you know, some guy in the military in Brazil who was a captain, to try and intimidate them, like, you know what, you can't come in here and start a church. And this brother, who was leading our church at that time over there, you know what he did? So, oh, you got a captain. I'm going to go above you. And so he went and found a colonel. He got a colonel. Colonel in the rank is above of a captain, because they were not going to be intimidated. And as God would have it, obviously later on that church is registered and they're doing great. I use that example because God does not even have a rank. I mean, if you said he's a four-star general, that's an insult in terms of who he is and what he's able to do. He's the ultimate authority. And so don't let people intimidate you through majors and captains and colonels. I mean, we're talking about the highest authority in the universe. That's who you and I are connected to. That's where we take our case. And that's why we win every single time. Amen? And so I've titled the lesson tonight, Are You Connected? Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. Beginning in verse 1. Are you connected? One day, as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, that is the Sea of Galilee, the people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, Don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people. So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him. I want us to picture this scene. The Bible says that Peter and his partners had spent the entire night fishing and they caught nothing. I don't think it means literally that they had nothing in the boat. But you know how it is. You know, that what they caught wasn't much to call home about, so to speak. Remember, this is their livelihood. This is their business. Back in the first century, they had no refrigeration of any kind. And so the fish basically was fresh every single day. And so on this particular morning, they had gone, come back. There was really nothing to go sell. And so Peter is busy washing his nets. Jesus starts preaching. The crowd is kind of crowding him. And the Bible says he gets into one of the boats that belonged to Simon Peter. Think about that for a second. I'm sure there were other boats there. He could have gotten into an empty boat and taught from there. Jesus is not going to fall over. Okay? He can balance himself on water just fine. But he gets into the boat that belongs to Simon Peter. And whether Simon likes it or not, he's going to hear that sermon. Because he couldn't go anywhere. I don't believe Simon was sitting there as Jesus was preaching, just going, man, when is he going to finish? He had to sit there. But the cool thing was, look at Jesus when he was done with the lesson. He could have said, you know, Pete, great job. Thank you for letting me hang out with you in your boat. I'll talk to you later. The Bible says, no. He said, put out into deep water and let down the nets for catch. Obviously, he knew that he hadn't caught anything. And here he is trying to meet a need. But notice who's giving the instructions. The carpenter is telling the fishermen where the fish are. How absurd is that? But you don't see any pride in Peter. He says, you know what? Master, we've worked hard all night. Not just work, he says, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets. Again, listen to the instruction. It says, put out into deep water. So the idea is when he gave him the command, they were still by water's edge. And so they had to, you know, sail into deep water. And I've been on the Sea of Galilee. It's not this itty-bitty lake like you have in, you know, some of these subdivisions. It's not like that at all. It's humongous. When you're at one end of it, you can't see the other end of it. It's that big. It's really a sea. And so they went in there, out there somewhere, and then they let down the nets. Then notice the response. It says, when they had done so, who is they? Jesus wasn't fishing. He was Simon's partners, James and John and all those guys. In other words, when Jesus says, put out into deep water, they all went along. Very important, very significant. You see, Peter's faith in Jesus inspired his partners, and they came along. Remember, the Bible says they had worked hard all night. They were probably exhausted and tired. On top of that, he had to listen to a sermon. We don't know how long Jesus preached for from the boat. But he says, Lord, because you say so, I'm going to do it. Isn't it always amazing how when you're at your wit's end, when you've tried everything, when you're at the 11th hour, that's when the Lord is going to show up. Have you figured that out by now as a Christian? When the clock is about to strike midnight, that's when he'll show up. And I believe one of the reasons God does that, I think I mentioned this last week, is because so that when it's all said and done, you can't take credit for anything.
I can't take credit for anything. I can only say, man, this is what God did. And he did it at the very last hour. The Bible says they filled both boats that they began to sink. That's amazing. It says here in verse 9 that he and all of his companions were astonished. We're talking about expert fishermen. They are flat blown away by what they're looking at. Because I don't think this had ever happened to them before. Are you with me? Peter's faith was in Jesus, not in his expertise as a fisherman. Peter's faith was in Christ, not in his failure from the previous night. Are you with me? He says, Peter fell to his knees and said, you know, God, you're a righteous man. Please go away from me. I'm a sinful man. You see, when God does the spectacular in our lives, it should help us see how inadequate we are. That we don't have any power to do anything. If anything, it ought to magnify God before us. Brothers and sisters, for many years, I had taught from this pulpit and many other places that I believe there were three answers to prayer. I was wrong. I've taught for many years that there are times when you and I pray and God says yes. And that is true. When you pray for something, God will give you exactly what you're asking for. You and I bear testimony to that. There's so many things that we've put before God and God has said, there you go, you can have it. And obviously when God says yes to our prayers, we need to continually thank him for those answered prayers. Not just in the moment, but even as we go forward. Amen? Another response to prayer that I've taught for many years is God says no. You ask for something and God says no. God, give me this job. You're there for the interview. You're fired up. You think this is it. And God, they hired somebody else. That is God saying no. And when God says no, we just need to accept it. Amen? We need to remember that God's grace is sufficient for us. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. For he said his power is made perfect in weakness. And then the third response that I've taught for many, many years, sometimes God would say, not now or wait. That's the hard part. Because usually when God says to wait, he doesn't tell you when he's going to answer you. You know, it's a lot easier standing in line when you know how long the wait is. You know what I'm talking about? The waiting is bearable because a lot of times we know that, okay, I'm going to be here for the next 15 minutes. I can handle that. Or for an hour. But we know there's a period where the waiting is going to end. God doesn't tell you how long it's going to keep you waiting. If anything, during that period, it's going to mold our characters. And it will teach us different things. Yeah. But wait, you and I will wait. Okay? For example, as a church, we've been praying for our own church building. Man, it's getting hot in here. And God says, wait. We're still waiting. Lord, I'm still waiting. But we're waiting. Amen? There is a fourth response to prayer. God says, I have something better in mind. Oh, baby. That's what we just see right here. I got something better in mind. I have been all excited last week, man, just seeing this. Like, goodness gracious, where have I been? It's been staring me in the face. I never saw it. But God says, I got something better in mind. We're asking for an awesome International Sunday. Say, oh, you wait. I'm going to show you guys. The The sister that's in charge of this stuff that makes everything go, you know, as my father. I'm gonna make her break her foot. To show us that it's not us, that it's him. Amen. It was awesome. You know, I remember when I stood up to introduce Dave on Sunday, you know, the room was packed all the way to the back. Now, yeah, there were empty seats here and there, but you could see it. And I reminded Demetrius to remind Alvin, you know, to count. The auditorium, the kids, the teachers, the people helping out in the cafeteria. And I had no idea what the number was. And so we get to the cafeteria. I call it the cafeteria because that's where you guys call it commons. Where I'm from, they call it cafeteria. That's where people eat. Okay, same place. So what is he talking about? The commons. Okay? We get to the commons, and Alvin comes and gives me the piece of paper. I said, how many? He said, 7-Eleven. I said, can I see the piece of paper? Obviously, I believed him, and I looked at it, and I was like, wow, that's amazing. 100 kids, and everybody else was adults. I was like, thank you, God. Now, that, we didn't have a number that we put before God, but God did one better. Amen. Amen? And that's what we see here. That's amazing. You see, faith does not make something easy. Faith makes it possible. You know, we started praying when we came back from San Antonio last year, that as a church, God will give us 48 people to get baptized in the next 12 months. And so far, we've done 20. Baptisms and restorations. We've done 20. You do the math. Between now and July 15th, we need to have 28 more. And I have to confess, you know, I said, well, okay. Man, God, what are you doing here? And then that horrible incident happened in Boston on Monday. And I hope we're praying for the folks up there. I got on the phone. I have an aunt who lives up there. And she was fine. And I have a cousin who's actually a disciple, married to a disciple also, who also lives up in Boston. She's a pharmacist. Her husband is an engineer. And they were fine. I said, thank God for that. And so Tuesday morning, she texts me. She said, oh, by the way, there's a couple that were baptized on Sunday that I'd love for you and Sarah to get a chance to talk to. Say they're both Kenyans. And I'd love for you guys to just talk to them and encourage them. And so I pulled aside to the side of the road, and I said, you know, tell me more. This woman, she was telling me, had been going to church for 2 years. She would come to church. She was always there every week. And the sister studying the Bible with her moved out of town and basically handed her over to my cousin. So when my cousin got with her, I said, you know what? You need to get serious, man. You come to church all the time. You need to get serious about obeying what the Bible teaches. And the woman gets upset. Shortly after that, the lady loses her sister. So she had to go home and bury her and come back. When she came back, she came to my cousin and said, you know what? I need to get my life right. I need to get serious about my relationship with God. I need your help. And so they start studying the Bible. And she makes a decision and says, I want to get baptized. So last Wednesday, she goes home to her husband and tells her husband, you know what? I'm getting baptized on Sunday. I'm counting the cost. I'm praying about this stuff. I'm going to be fasting. I'm going to be getting baptized on Sunday. The husband looks at her and goes, I'm supposed to be leading this family. What do I need to do to get my life right? She called. Her husband said, you need to give this guy a call. So he called the evangelist. They got the elder in that part of their church involved. The brother's name is Clarence. He was the one that Doug Arthur was sharing about earlier this year. And so Clarence got involved. The man studied the Bible in 3 days. And on Sunday, he got baptized first, and then he baptized his wife. That is God saying, I got something better in mind. Clarence was sharing at his baptism, I'm told, that you know what? He has never, in all of his years of being a Christian, he has never met somebody so tender-hearted. And the amazing thing is, you know, the guy had such a high-powered job, he never had time to do anything. He lost his job early last week. And that's why he was able to find all that time to study the Bible. You think that was accident? Now he's looking for another job, and I believe he's going to get another one. Because I understand he's a very talented man. And he already has several interviews lined up. But God had to fire him for him to find the time to get into the Word and become a Christian. I don't believe that was accident. And so I heard that, believe it or not, on Tuesday. I was very encouraged. Here I am saying, okay, Lord, how are you going to do this? 28 in the next 3 months. Oh, Lord. You know, when I heard this, it increased my faith. Amen? I'm just being open with you. Because I know sometimes you guys, you know, you're thinking, oh, yeah, Richard's got no problems. You know, he's just there. He's got it all figured out. No, I don't. I call on the same God that you call on. Amen? I read the same Bible that you read. I get my own faith from the same book. But I share that to encourage you that God hears your prayers. God can move very quickly on your behalf and on my behalf and on our behalf. Amen? Luke chapter 5. We're still there. In verse 17. One day, Jesus was teaching. The Pharisees and teachers of the law were seated there. They had come from every village of Galilee and from Judea and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was with Jesus to heal the sick. Some men came carrying a paralyzed man on a mat and tried to take him into the house to lay him before Jesus. When they could not find a way to do this because of the crowd, they went up onto the roof and lowered him on his mat through the tiles into the middle of the crowd, right in front of Jesus. When Jesus saw their faith, he said, "Friend, your sins are forgiven." The Pharisees and the teachers of the law began thinking to themselves, "Who is this fellow who speaks blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Jesus knew what they were thinking and asked, "Why are you thinking these things in your heart? Which is easier, to say your sins are forgiven or to say get up and walk? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." So he said to the paralyzed man, "I tell you, get up and take up your mat and go home." Immediately, he stood up in front of them, took what he had been lying on, and went home praising God. Everyone was amazed and gave praise to God. They were filled with awe and said, "We have seen remarkable things today." This man's friends, the Bible tells us, brought him to Jesus. And they got to the place where Jesus was. Again, just picture the scene. Again, their homes back then were very, very small. Usually one room. So I don't want you to be thinking, oh yeah, they got this big house and just in there somewhere. It's just very, very small area. And you can imagine, obviously the house is packed and the crowd outside. They got there, but they couldn't get inside. They could have given up. They could have looked at the fact, "Hey, my friend." That's what John Lewis says, "My friend. We tried." And they did try. I'm sure they tried to get through the crowd. And people are like, where do you think you're going? Oh, we need to get this guy in front of Jesus. He needs healing. I need healing too. What do you think I'm doing here? I said, okay, you know, let's try something. You know, let's go on top of the roof. And that's what they did. They went on top of the roof, and they opened up the roof, and they lowered the man in front of Jesus. Now, I've always felt, let me tell you something. If this was my house, I'm standing there going, "You guys are paying for this. Who's going to pay for this?" You don't see any of that in the story. The Bible says, when Jesus saw their faith, you see, faith pushes through obstacles. Is your faith visible? Does God see it? Does God see mine? Is my faith visible? This man came to get healed. He just wanted to walk. God says, I got something better in mind. He gave him salvation, and then he healed him. It never crossed his mind when he was being brought that, you know what, today I'm getting saved. All he wanted was physical healing. I love that about God. When you and I think, oh, we got it all figured out and we're asking for one thing, God says, you know what, I got some better for you. Yeah, I'll give you what you're asking for, but I'm gonna put some icing on top of the cake. You see what I'm saying? I'm gonna put some whipped cream on that pie for you. Ooh, that tastes good. I wasn't expecting that. He said, well, that's who I am. That's what I do. And that's what the Lord did here. Amen? Awesome. Someone once said, faith is like Wi-Fi. It's invisible, but it has the power to connect you to what you need. I'm going to repeat that. Faith is like Wi-Fi. It's invisible, but it has the power to connect you to what you need. Through faith, God will do one better. Through faith, God will give you more than you ask for. Through faith, God will do immeasurably more than you can imagine. Through faith, God will respond sometimes by saying, I have something better in mind for you. Now you say, you know, Richard, this is all well and good. How do I increase my faith? Look in Romans chapter 10. It's not rocket science. Romans chapter 10. You need to memorize this verse. Romans chapter 10. In verse 17. It says, consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ. Faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. The more you read the Bible, the more you get into your Bible, the more you're going to realize God works. Are you with me? There's no magic to it. And so, I will ask the question again. Are you connected? He said, God, increase my faith. He's going to do it when you get into this book. And he will start moving things and start doing things in your life to show you that, yes, he is indeed the Almighty. Faith comes through the message. It doesn't come any other way. You know, I don't know about you. I got some emergency, what I call emergency passages that I like to dial when I'm going through stuff, as far as the Bible is concerned. You know, when I'm lonely and fearful, I dial up Psalm 23. Oh, I love it. The Lord is my shepherd. I will not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He restores my soul. He leads me beside quiet waters for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for God is with me. You see, you got to dial up those verses. That's where faith comes from. When men fail you, dial up Psalm 27. Oh, I promise he will pick you right up. When you have sinned, dial up Isaiah 51. It will help you to get broken and come to repentance before God. When you are worried, dial up Matthew chapter 6 from verses 25 to 34. When God seems far away, you dial up Psalm 139. And all of a sudden, it's not too far away from you. When your faith needs stirring, you better dial up Hebrews 11. He's going to pick you right back up. When you want courage for something, dial up Joshua chapter 1. And again, I'm not just talking about just reading it through. I'm talking about meditating on the words. You see, faith comes from hearing the word. And the word is heard through the message of Christ. And so, brothers and sisters, the question tonight is, how plugged in are you to the Almighty? Are you really plugged in? You know, there's a show on NBC that I used to love to watch many, many years ago. It's called 2020. And I don't watch it anymore. I hardly do. I replaced it with, 60 Minutes replaced it many, many years ago. But anyway, I want to encourage you to think 2020. I really believe that every single person that calls themselves a Christian or trying to become one, I want to encourage you to spend at least 20 minutes in prayer every day and 20 minutes of Bible study. That's what I'm asking. 20 minutes of prayer. Notice I said at least. That's the minimum. Okay? That's the bottom. And 20 minutes of Bible study. It will change your life. You see, we can't be men and women that, okay, yeah, I prayed on Monday and Tuesday, and then I picked it up on Friday. It can't be that. You say, Richard, you don't understand, I'm busy. Then you're too busy. You've heard me say this, and I'll say it again. The only thing we take from this world, when it's all said and done, is our relationship with God. Or heaven help us, a lack of it. Amen? And all this is practicing for what we're going to be doing on the other side. Very important. You know, the other day I got myself a smartphone. And you also have smartphones. I'm still trying to figure out all the different things it can do. They call it a smartphone, but it can't cook, okay? So it can't be that smart. But what I found out was I downloaded Bible Gateway onto my smartphone. And come find out, there's an audio section where I can just go in and listen to the scriptures. And believe it or not, I'd never done that before. You know, I like to read my Bible. I like to hear the pages flipping, you know. And that's just who I am. You know, call me old-fashioned. It's okay. But what I discovered was I started listening, in addition to reading my Bible, just listening to the audio. And so, I go to the gym in the morning, and I plug that thing in, and I'm just hearing things. And I tell you, I'm hearing things that I never saw. Still the same word. And so, I share that to say, you know what, this is something different that I've been doing, in addition to reading my Bible. So, whatever it is you need to do to stay connected, do it. Try something different. If you've been used to just, staying in a particular place and praying every day, get up and go outside. Go for a walk. Instead of, staying on your knees and then falling asleep, I promise you, you're not going to fall asleep when you're walking outside. If you do, if you fall asleep, don't worry. I'll come to the hospital and see you. All right? But you're not going to fall asleep while you're walking. I promise you. But the point is, do something different. You may want to do a Jericho prayer through your neighborhood. Maybe you're praying for your neighbors to become Christians. Let me encourage you. Pick a week and walk around that neighborhood for 7 days praying, and you watch what happens. Do something different to stay connected. Amen? Amen? Very, very important. We have so many parks in Gwinnett County. One of the things I like to do is I'll just go to one of the parks, park my car, and get on the, what do you call those things, those walking trails, and I'm just praying the whole time. and saying hello and, you know, introduce myself to people as I'm praying. How you doing? How you doing? When I come back, hey, how you doing, man? But invite him to church and I just keep going. I just keep praying. But it's something different. I'm trying to stay connected so that my relationship with God does not become stale. I cannot afford for it to become stale. Satan wants it to become stale. But you and I have got to stay connected. Because every once in a while, God says, I got something better in mind. Ooh, that's always nice. But the issue is, are we connected to God? And God will continue to glorify himself through our lives. God will continue to do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine. And I'm asking us tonight, 2020, 20 minutes of prayer minimum, 20 minutes of Bible study every day. Amen. Oh, I want to do 1 hour. That's fine. But all I'm asking is 2020. Whatever else you want to put on top of it, that's entirely up to you. That's fine. I know some of us pray for over an hour on a daily basis, and I commend you for that. Continue that. But I also know that many of us are not even praying 20 minutes a day or reading our Bible for 20 minutes a day. We just got to get back and get connected to the Almighty. Amen? Amen. Bishop, would you please come and close our eye with a word of prayer? It's great seeing you. One more thing before. On Sunday, we're going to have a guest speaker, Steve Staton from Chicago. He's going to be preaching for us. And the reason why he's coming down here is we're having our next Unity meeting for the evangelists and elders in Atlanta. Amen. And he's going to come in and make a presentation to us as far as trying to help us resolve all of our conflicts and stuff. And so please, I need us to be praying about that. And then Sunday morning, we'll get to hear Steve Staton together from Chicago. Amen? Amen. God bless.